Well, welcome to Evident Life Church. Welcome to our new home right here in the heart of downtown Gilbert. I said it before, I've got to watch myself a little bit. There are a lot of good restaurants. Some of my favorite ones are a stone's throw away from here. But there are so many people. There were some people here on Friday night. Who was at the water tower, the worship tower on Friday night? Handful of hands here that were there. And I heard that it was packed Friday night with people. I mean, just at the restaurants, the town was hopping. And we are right here in the middle of everything. I don't know if you know this, but there's a four-car parking garage going up right across the street behind the new restaurants that are being put in. There is a University, St. Xavier, from, I believe they're out of Chicago, is putting a four-story campus right across the street over here too. The town of Gilbert just bought the field that's directly across from us, and they bought it so they can control it and develop it in a way that's going to continue with the plans that they've been doing for this historic heritage downtown area. We're in the heart of something here, and it's really exciting. So welcome to our new home right here in downtown Gilbert, Arizona. Now, many would say, hey, come check out our new building, or have you seen our new facility, or our new campus? And you can even use that word campus, because this is pretty big. You know, we own the whole building, 25,000 square feet. There's several churches already meeting, and there will continue to be another church meeting even in July when we take over fully. There's a school with 250 students currently using this facility. It's teeming with life, and it will continue to teem with life. We have 3.5 acres here. We have a basketball. If you haven't looked to the back of the property, it's a full-court basketball court back there. That area that's currently for water overflow and retention area is going to be turned into a wonderful field for kids to be able to play at. This is a great area. It's a great campus. It's a great building. It's a great facility. But I want us to see this space as something else. I want us to see it as our home. This is our home. This is our house. And why am I using those terms? Because it's a house, a home, is a place where a family comes together. I was so blessed last Sunday when the service just turned into an amazing time of testimonies, an hour of testimonies. And the common theme that I kept hearing is family and relationship and love. But family. And a family lives in a home, in a house, and that's where they do life together. A house is a place to do life, a place to spend time together, and this is our house. This is our house of prayer. This is our house of worship. This is our house of teaching and discipleship. This is our house where we welcome the presence of the living God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit to come and encounter us and to change us. This is our house where we will grow up together in the Lord, together, encouraging one another. This is our house where memories, dare I even say, where history will be made. This is our house where the name of Jesus will be lifted up and glorified, even as it was this evening as we're worshiping Him. I don't know how many times we sung the name of Jesus, but it was a lot. And that's good. That's good. This is our house of fellowship and of love. This is our house. Now check this out. This is our house with plenty of room for more family members. Amen. Let's have this perspective. This is our house. We're family. This is where we come together. Amen? I love having kids in here. I just do. They're the best ameners. Well, today is Palm Sunday. It's a time where Christians celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ as He came into Jerusalem 2,000 plus years ago. Many refer to Palm Sunday as Passion Sunday, as it marks the beginning of the Holy Week, where, of course, it begins with Palm Sunday. We have Good Friday that we're going to all be celebrating together at Freestone Park with many other churches. It's awesome. You need to be there. In fact, I want to let you know of another opportunity that you have, and I'll mention it again at the end here. But you have an opportunity, if you would like to walk with the cross as it's being carried through downtown Gilbert, starting at the worship tower, the Gilbert Water Tower, and going all the way through downtown, down Guadalupe, east to Freestone Park. If you want to join that, you need to be there at about 5:30 or 5:45 at the Water Tower. It's Passion Week. Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and then the amazing celebration that we get to join in on, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Praise God. Some 450 to 500 years before that first Palm Sunday, before Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah spoke these words. You can find it in Zechariah 9, verse 9, where he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." And on that Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, 5 days before Calvary, as Jerusalem was packed with people celebrating Passover, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy as he came into the city riding on a donkey. The crowds greeted him with honor. There was cheering. There was excitement in the streets. They were waving palm branches. They were covering the path where Jesus was coming in with their garments and with these palm branches. I mean, it was a festival. It was exciting. And this week, as I'm thinking about that, as I'm trying to picture what it looked like, what kept coming to my mind, a guy who enjoys sports, first of all playing them, then coaching them, and then watching them, is I thought of those Super Bowl championship teams and the World Series championship teams as they come home after winning it all. And they come to the city, and they're being escorted in the city. Look at some of these pictures here. They're coming into the city, being escorted in the city. Instead of palm branches, there's confetti all over the place. This is the San Francisco Giants after they won the World Series. I think it was 2012. You baseball guys can tell me that, something like that. They're coming in to San Francisco, and the confetti, you can't even see them because of all the excitement. You can imagine the screaming and the yelling and the cheering that's happening as they're entering the city because they won a ball game. Woo! This is what I think of when I think of Palm Sunday and Jesus coming in and the palm branches flying all over the place and the people crying and yelling and screaming and throwing them the branches in front of him. But really what's been jumping out at me this week hasn't been the palm branches. I got over the confetti after a few minutes. But what's been jumping out at me as I've studied all four Gospels, which all four of them cover Palm Sunday and discuss it and remember Palm Sunday, what jumps out at me is who was leading Jesus into the city of Jerusalem? Who led the way? Who was it that was crying out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest"? Who was it that was leading the way? Who was it that was crying, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest"? Who brought Jesus into the city? It was his disciples. It was his followers. It was those who were with him when he raised Lazarus from the dead. It was those who witnessed his miracles. Those who followed Christ, who heard his teaching. It was those who knew Jesus that were leading the way and bringing him into the city. That's the title of the sermon, Bringing Jesus into the City. Bringing Jesus into our city. I know this is a town, but we're going to call it a city for today. Bringing Jesus into our city. How were the disciples introducing Jesus to this packed city on that day? First of all, they were energetic. They were all in. They weren't holding back. And they were yelling and screaming. But what were they yelling and screaming? They kept saying this word, Hosanna. Hosanna! Hosanna! You know what Hosanna means? Hooray for salvation. Hooray for salvation! Hosanna! Salvation is here! That's another definition of it. Salvation is here! Check this out! Check this out! Salvation is here! Hosanna! Salvation is entering the city. Hosanna to the Son of David, they would say. Meaning the Son of David is our salvation. Hosanna in the highest. Let all the angels in heaven even join in with us in declaring that salvation is here right now. Hosanna. The disciples of Jesus, His followers, those who knew Him. I'm hoping you're catching this right now. Those who knew Him were the ones who lifted up His name before all men. They weren't at home that day. They weren't hanging out, watching television, tweeting and Facebooking, and they weren't doing all that day. They weren't barbecuing. The followers of Jesus were getting busy and they were bringing Him into their city. And they were proclaiming to all men that here is salvation. Right here. That man that's on that donkey, salvation. Salvation is here. He's coming in the city today. Get that picture. You see what's going on? You see what's happening? Let's go to Scripture. Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 37 and 38. It says, as He was drawing near, talking about Jesus, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of His disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It says this in John 12, verse 17. The crowd that had been with Him, those who were hanging out with Jesus, those who took up that call, come follow Me, the crowd that had been with Him when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. Hosanna. Hosanna. Here He comes. It says this in Matthew 21, verses 9 through 11. And the crowds that went before Him, we know who the crowds are, His disciples, the crowds that went before Him and that followed Him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? Who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Let's look at what just happened here. What are we looking at here? What's going on? Well, the disciples of Jesus lifted Him up. They lifted up Jesus. They brought Him into the city. Not secretly in the middle of the night when nobody could see Him. We're just going to kind of bring Him in here. Shh. We don't want anybody to notice. We don't want to cause any commotion. We don't want to offend anybody. We're just going to kind of sneak into the city with Jesus. Hope nobody sees us. Bring Him into our house. And then we'll have a little meeting. No, it's not how it went down, folks. They brought Him into their city, middle of the day, screaming and shouting. Here He comes, here He comes. And the place was packed. They glorified His name in the streets. They declared to all the people, salvation is here. His name is Jesus. So what was the result of all this? What happened? I'm going to look at two results. It's not one of those 3, 4, 5-point messages. 2 points. Two results. Result number one that we see is that it stirred things up. Let's go back to Matthew 21:10. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" Lifting up the name of Jesus, declaring His name in public, bringing Jesus into our city will stir things up. That's all there is to it. Bringing Jesus into our city is going to stir things up. It's going to cause some commotion. And when Jesus is introduced, it's always going to invoke a reaction. Every time Jesus comes into the discussion, comes into the room, every time His name is mentioned, it's going to invoke some sort of reaction. I believe this is why the world wants to remove the name of Jesus from everything. I mean, the world doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus. So they say, you can't say His name. You can't say His name in the public square anymore. You can't say His name in the schools. You can't say His name almost anywhere. You got to even take His name out of Christ Mass. You can't say His name. Why? Why doesn't the world want to hear the name of Jesus? They'll say any other name and any other word. It's incredible what you can hear everywhere you go in this nation. Every other name, every other word, it's lifted up, it's spoken, and everybody's cool with that. But you mention the name Jesus, look out. Things are about ready to get stirred up. Ben just made some ice cream this week. He so badly wanted to make some homemade ice cream. And you got to stir some things up if you're going to make some ice cream. That just came to me. It was really good ice cream, Ben. Nice job. Nicely done. Why does the name of Jesus stir things up? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. We sang about that this evening. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's no joke. I'm thinking even right now, when that's, you know, you've all sung a song, Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way. Put out his palm and asked for an alms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man got up, he walked, and he danced, he sang, he rejoiced at the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's no joke. Some people in the church, they say, why are you praying in the name of Jesus? Why do you always have to say in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer? That's just so religious. I'm like, because there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why we say in Jesus' name. That's why when we pray, we're crying out to Jesus and we're declaring His name over our circumstances, over our lives, over our broken bodies, whatever it is, because there's power in the name of Jesus. So why doesn't the world want to hear the name of Jesus? Because there's conviction in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus causes every other name to bow its knee. And every other name doesn't want to bow its knee. So every other name doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus. Why doesn't the world want to hear the name of Jesus? Because the name of Jesus is the real deal. And it always requires a response. The name of Jesus doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. It's going to rock your world. The name of Jesus is going to demand a response from you. It's going to stir things up. And that's what happened on Palm Sunday. As the followers of Christ brought Jesus into the city, it stirred things up. It invoked a reaction. And sometimes when things get stirred up and reactions are invoked, it's not always pleasant. It just isn't. We got to get over that. We got to be okay with that. Too often we think, you know what? If my life is easy and comfortable and peaceful, then I'm doing the right thing. That's not biblical. That means you're probably really off track. That means the devil's lulled you to sleep. If you're doing the right thing, then you're bringing Jesus into the city. You're bringing Jesus into other people's lives, and that's going to stir things up. And sometimes it might not be pleasant. It might even be a little awkward. Oh no, that's persecution in America, awkwardness. Oh. But I'm going to tell you what. We have brothers and sisters around the world right now who are doing just what those disciples did 2,000 years ago, and they're bringing salvation into their city. They're bringing the name of Jesus into their communities, into their villages, into their towns, all around the world. And many of our brothers and sisters are finding very unpleasant situations, in fact, full-on persecution to the point of losing their lives. It's happening today at greater numbers than really any time in history. The name of Jesus is going to stir things up, and it will invoke a reaction. I don't know if you've been out of your house lately. I don't know if you've been doing life lately here in America, but the name of Jesus invokes some animosity in our country today. Are you going to be all right with that? We have some interesting times ahead of us. We really do. If we decide we want to just remain silent or very quiet in bringing the name of Jesus into our community, into our state, into our nation, if we just want to take the quiet approach and continue to go that path, I'm talking as the church overall in this country, then things are only going to get harder and harder and more difficult to bring His name into our city. I say we got to do it now. We got to do it now. Yeah, it's more uncomfortable today than it was 40, 50 years ago. But you wait another 10 years. I'm not even saying 40, 50. You wait another 10 years. Anyway. So sometimes when we bring Jesus into our city, it's going to stir things up. It's going to invoke a reaction that might not be pleasant. That might even move to the place of persecution. But let me tell you this, there's also this reality that sometimes the result of bringing Jesus into our city, into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our neighbors' lives even, is revival. Even whole communities coming to Christ Jesus. Why? Because the people of God, His followers, brought Him in. Introduced Him to their neighbors. We just got to remember this. Our responsibility isn't their response. We're not responsible for the response of our city. We're just responsible for bringing Jesus in to our city. Let God do the rest. As they say, let the chips fall where they may there. Let the sovereign Lord, let the Holy Spirit, let Him do what He does. Let us do what we're called to do. And what we see the disciples doing and being applauded for doing as we read the accounts of Palm Sunday. They brought Jesus into the city. Our role is to cry Hosanna. Not just here in the safe four walls of our comfy little cozy church here, but in the streets. Hosanna, salvation is here. Do you know Him? His name's Jesus. I know Him. Let me introduce you to salvation. Let me introduce you to freedom. His name is Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. That's His name. So when Jesus was brought into the city, the first thing it did was it stirred things up. The second thing we see, and we've already kind of alluded to this, is that it saved many. Result number two, it saved many. How many of you know Jesus saves? Jesus saves. When Jesus comes into a community, salvation happens. Maybe not for everyone. And some of us have a problem with that. We bring Jesus into somebody's life, and their response is rejection. And so we go, oh, well, this whole bringing Jesus into people's lives, into our community thing doesn't really work, so I'm just going to kind of back off a little bit. The reality is that everyone is not going to react the same way when Jesus is brought into their lives. Some people will reject Jesus. Read God's Word. Parable of the sower. There will be some who reject Him. It says in John 12:37, right here in the Palm Sunday writings, it says this. It says that though He had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in Him. But some did. Some received Him. Some were saved. In John 12:42, nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in Him. Look, when Jesus shows up, He brings salvation. Hosanna. Salvation is here. When Jesus shows up, He brings salvation. I think of the woman at the well. She's out drawing water. She runs into Jesus, or He runs into her, and they get talking. Salvation showed up to her that day, and she grabbed hold of salvation and said yes. What was her response? Did she keep it to herself? No. She went into the city, and she took the name of Jesus into the city, and she told her whole city, you need to meet this man. You need to meet Him. She didn't say it quite this way, but this is what she was saying. Salvation is here. He's at our city. You need to come out here. He's at the well. This is what it says. We're looking at John chapter 4, beginning verse 28. So the woman left the water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come. Went into town and said to the people, come. See a man who told me all that I ever did. So she's blown away by the miracles of God. I just want to point this out. So the disciples who were bringing Jesus into the city, it said earlier in our passages that those were the ones who were there when He raised Lazarus from the dead, who saw Him do miracles. He is the same today as He was then. He's still doing miracles. People need to see the miracles, the power of God. He's not just a theological construct that we think about. He's real. He's alive. That's all there is to it. He's alive. He's real. All right. Getting preachy this evening. Whoa. Wow. She said, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to Him. And then picking up in verse 39, says, many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. Because she came into the city and told them about Jesus. It says, because of that, many, many believed in Him. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And it says in verse 41, and many more believed because of His word. Okay, so there's this woman. She's an outcast. Read about her. Open your Bibles, read about her. She's an outcast. She's not well thought of in her community. She had just met Jesus right then and there. She wasn't a follower of His for a long time. She wasn't some kind of studied theologian that had it all figured out. All she knew was, I just met Jesus, and I got to go tell people about Him. And many more were saved because of that. Church, it's not rocket science. It's not. When I think about the truth that bringing Jesus into our city will save many, I think of the Welsh revivals. of the early 1900s, began in 1904, with a guy by the name of Evan Roberts. I want to read a little synopsis that I pulled together from some different sources about the Welsh revivals and about what can happen in our city, in our state, in our nation today, because God's the same today as He was yesterday, as He was in 1904. It can happen today, church. Is God bigger than the circumstances that are going on in our nation? Sure He is. Come on. He totally is. Yeah, doom and gloom. Yeah, but who's got the victory and whose name is above every other name? Jesus is. This is what happened in Wales. You can put these pictures up as I'm reading this. The story of the Welsh revival is astounding. Oswald Smith described it in this way. He says it was 1904. All Wales was aflame. The nation had drifted far from God. The spiritual conditions were low indeed. Church attendance was poor, and sin abounded on every side. This is all sounding very familiar. Suddenly, I love that. This guy, Oswald, said, suddenly. How many of you love it when God shows up suddenly in your life? How many of you pray for suddenlies to happen? I pray for suddenlies to happen in my life. Suddenly, he said, suddenly, like an unexpected tornado, the Spirit of God swept over the land. The churches were crowded so that multitudes were unable to get in. Meetings lasted from 10 in the morning. All right, you're going to love this. From 10 in the morning until 12 at night. This revival, now listen to this. This revival began in prayer meetings of less than a score of intercessors. When it burst its bounds, see what's going on? You got to see the words, very important. These prayer meetings, praying for the city, burst its bounds out of the houses of prayer into the community. It burst its bounds. The churches of Wales were crowded for more than 2 years. 100,000 outsiders were converted. 100,000 were converted and added to the churches, the vast majority of them remaining true to the end. Here's some other results that happened when Jesus is brought into the city. This also from Wales. Drunkenness was immediately cut in half, and many taverns went bankrupt. Crime was so diminished that judges were presented with white gloves, signifying that there were no cases of murder, assault, rape, or robbery, or the like to consider. The police became unemployed in many districts. Hey, that would be awesome. Unemployed policemen, bring them into the churches. Let's get them into ministry full time. Why not? Stoppages occurred in coal mines, not due to unpleasantness between management and workers, but because so many foul-mouthed miners became converted and stopped using foul language, so much so that their horses, which hauled the coal trucks in the mines, could no longer understand what was being said to them. And so transportation grounded to a halt. They also talk of whole towns and villages turning to Christ. Not just one or two people, but whole towns and villages turning to Christ. Why? Because the people of God prayed and they brought Jesus into their community, into their city. On this Palm Sunday, I feel compelled to ask us the question, will we, like the disciples of Jesus those 1,000 years ago, will we bring Jesus into our city? Step out in the streets, go into the neighborhoods, publicly lift up the name of Jesus over our community. Will we be willing to stir things up and trust God that many will be saved? Do we have that kind of faith? Do we believe God is that big? Jesus said this in John 12:32. Again, another passage speaking of Palm Sunday. And I, Jesus says, when I am lifted up from this earth. Now he's specifically talking and prophesying about his coming crucifixion that's going to happen in 5 days. He says this, he says, if I, when I am lifted up, but this principle applies today, when Jesus is lifted up, when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. When he's lifted up, when his name is brought into the city, when he's exalted, when his church, when his followers dare speak his name and lift him up, he draws men to him. And many, thousands, and even hundreds of thousands can be saved in our community, in our state, on our watch. But we must bring him into the city. We're going to do it here in this church. There's no way around it. We're not going to sit back quiet or afraid. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And the world needs greater. They need Jesus. God has given us this house. This house that we're in right here. He's given us this house in the heart of our community. Right here in the downtown Heritage District. Which, I'm going to tell you, it represents the roots, the foundation of this community. Some of which are good, some of which are not so good. This area represents very strategic ground, and the Lord has placed us here for such a time as this. Not to just come, park our cars in the parking lot, run inside, enjoy refreshments, enjoy fellowship, sing, get some goosebumps, and then go home. We have a bigger call than that, a greater call than that. Our call is to bring Jesus into our city. And I keep pointing that direction because that's right where we're going. Now, we're already doing this. And there's some practical ways that you can get involved in this call right now. There's some ways that you can act just like the disciples did 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday. You can engage in this. Well, I'm not just talking, you know, hypothetical stuff here. The Bible is not hypothetical. It's not a textbook. Here's some practical ways you can get involved. Live this out right now. First one is this. Water Tower prayer meetings or Worship Tower prayer meetings. As mentioned earlier, we're having those three times a week right now. Till we have the house of prayer, three times a week out at the Water Tower. Mondays and Fridays at 6 o'clock for an hour and Thursdays from 11 to noon. It's incredible. We're already seeing fruit. Bringing Jesus into our city has already resulted in salvation. It's already happened. God's the same today as he was yesterday. And it's going to happen a whole lot more. I was just telling somebody earlier, and Tim, you get to hear it right now. I'm believing that Friday night prayer, that's going to be the primary location for the Friday night prayer meetings, even after we get the house of prayer running again. Why? Because we got to bring Jesus into our city. And I'm telling you what, Friday night downtown Gilbert is hopping with a whole lot of people who need salvation. So where should the church be? Another way that you can get involved. So you can begin attending those gatherings right now at the Water Tower in downtown Gilbert. The second way that we can bring Jesus into our city right now that you can engage in this week is on Friday. Good Friday in the park. We're bringing Jesus into our community. We've rented the amphitheater. We're coming together with our brothers and sisters at five or so other churches to lift up the name of Jesus, to bring the cross, and to stand there and to remember the cross and to speak the name of Jesus over our community. To come together united as the body of Christ. Not playing games, but getting out into our community with Jesus. I encourage you to be there. If you want to walk with the cross through downtown Gilbert, lifting up the name of Jesus, as you're walking alongside of that cross and speaking his name, engage in it. Bring Jesus into your city, into your community. Do it. Another idea that we have, a plan that we would really love to see happen, is we want to turn that round piece of grass out there near the front of the building that has those really old and tired basketball goals. We want to take those out. We want to erect a very large cross and put it right there in the middle of that ground. And we want light shining on that cross 24/7. And we want to create a prayer space, a place, a peaceful, wonderful place where people can come and pray right there on Gilbert Road with the cross right beside them. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. And when people drive through downtown Gilbert, we want them to see the cross. We want them to encounter Christ. We want to invoke a reaction and a response. We're praying and seeking the Lord on other ways, and I'm sure God is going to direct us on other ways that we can bring Jesus into our city. But you don't have to wait for me to come up with an idea, for us to roll something out. You can do it every single day. Bring Jesus to your neighbors, to your neighborhood, to your place of employment. Bring Jesus to the restaurant where you're going to eat sometime this week. Bring Jesus to the places where you shop, where you fellowship with one another. Bring Jesus into your city. You don't have to be stealthy. Let's get away from that. That stealthy stuff has gotten this nation nowhere. Let's bring Jesus. Just like our brothers and sisters did 2,000 years ago, let's bring them in with some excitement, with some joy, because after all, He is salvation. He saves. Amen? I want everybody to stand up. The band's coming up here. I just want to say that I see this house as a launching pad. This is a launching pad into our city. This is a place where we get equipped, where we get filled, and then we go pour it out to those who need it. This is our launching pad. This is not our final destination. This is our refueling station. We come, we get fueled, we get filled because God is good and He fills His people. And then we take Him out, we take Him out to the world, to our city. So as we stand, let's sing this song as just a way of coming into agreement with the message of Palm Sunday. Coming into agreement as disciples of followers of Christ that we too will bring Jesus into our city. And when we do, greater things are yet to come.